All right, so today we're going deep on something that might seem a little dry at first, but trust me, it's a total legal maze
Yeah.
and it matters a lot, especially if you're, thinking about law as a career.
Oh, absolutely. And it
Yeah.
gets to like the core of how our states and the whole federal system mesh together,
Yeah.
especially when you think about, workers' comp and all that.
Exactly. We're talking interstate workers' compensation and like what happens when your work life isn't just, confined to one state.
Yeah, think about it. You live in one state, your company's HQ is in another, and bam, you get hurt on a business trip in a third state. It's like, whoa, what laws even apply?
Right, like imagine you live in Jersey, your company's based in New York, but you get hurt in, Pennsylvania. It's a recipe for legal chaos.
Total chaos. And that's why we're dissecting a Supreme Court case that really set the stage for how we deal with this stuff.
This is like law school 101, right?
Yeah, Thomas v. Washington Gaslight Cop, back in 1980, this case is like the key to understanding how the Constitution's full faith and credit clause, that thing that basically says states have to respect each other's laws and court decisions.
Yeah, I remember that from con law.
How that big idea bumps up against state-level workers' comp laws.
So it's like, can you get a workers' comp settlement in one state and then go after more benefits in a different state for the same injury?
That's the million-dollar question, right? And the employer in this case, they were like, nope, full faith and credit clause means case closed.
Seems kind of reasonable, right? Like you paid out in one state, why should you have to pay again somewhere else?
Right. But the Supreme Court, they were like, hold on. Each state has its own interest in protecting its workers. It's not so cut and dry.
Let's break down this Thomas case then. Who are the players? What happened?
Okay, so we've got Hallie Thomas, a guy living in D.C. working for Washington Gaslight Company.
Washington Gaslight. I feel like I've heard of them.
Yeah, big company operates in D.C., Virginia, Maryland, the whole shebang. And back in 1971, Mr. Thomas hurts his back working in Virginia.
Ouch.
Yeah. So he gets workers' comp benefits under Virginia's law.
Okay, standard procedure so
Oh,
far.
here's the catch. Virginia's law had this clause saying once you take the benefits, you're done. No more lawsuits, no more claims in Virginia, at least.
So they're like, here's your money now, go away, basically.
Pretty much so. It seemed like that was that case closed.
But there's a twist, right?
Horses a twist. 3 years later, 1974, Mr. Thomas pops up in D.C., wants supplemental workers' comp benefits.
Oh boy, here we go.
Washington Gaslight was not happy.
No!
They're like, hold up, full faith and credit clause. You can't do that. Virginia already handled it.
Seems like a solid argument,
On
right?
the surface.
Yeah.
But it goes to show how workers' comp law can get really murky when you cross state lines.
So what happened next? How did it end up at the Supreme Court?
Well, first, it went to a D.C. administrative law judge.
Like a mini trial, sort of.
Yeah. And the judge actually sided with Thomas, granted him the extra benefits in D.C., but they did subtract what he already got from Virginia.
So kind of a compromise.
Right. Then Washington Gaslight appealed.
We weren't giving up.
Nope. It went up to the Benefits Review Board, which upheld the judge's decision.
Round two for Thomas.
But then the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit steps in the D.C., they reverse the whole thing, sided with the company.
Oh man, what a roller coaster.
Yeah, they said full faith and credit clause trumps all D.C. Can't give out any more money.
So now we've got this legal tug of war, lower courts disagreeing what's a worker to do.
That's where the Supreme Court comes in. They see this mess and they're like, all right, we got to settle this.
Supreme Court to the rescue. So what was like the big legal question they had to figure out?
The core issue was, does the full faith and credit clause force D.C. to accept Virginia's workers' comp award as final?
So basically, is that the end of the story, or can Thomas still try to get more into DC?
Exactly. And to answer that, they had to look back at their own decisions, specifically two cases that kind of gave different signals.
Legal precedent. That's the heart of so many Supreme Court cases.
Right. So first up, we have Magnolia Petroleum Co. v. Hunt, a case from 1943.
Take us back. What did Magnolia say?
Magnolia basically said that a workers' comp award in one state acts as res judicata in other states.
Res judicata, Latin for lawyers.
It means case closed. You can't keep relitigating the same thing in different courts once it's decided.
Okay, makes sense. So one state's decision is final everywhere.
Right, that was the idea to prevent employers from getting hit with multiple lawsuits for the same injury in different places.
So it seems like that would back up Washington Gaslight's argument.
Yeah, but then a few years later, in 1947, comes Industrial Commission of Wisconsin v. McCartin. And this case throws a wrench in things.
Oh, another legal curveball.
McCartin said, hold on, there's an exception to that Magnolia rule.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
They said, you can get a second workers' comp award in another state unless the first state's law specifically says you can't.
So it's all about how the first state wrote their law.
Exactly. It has to be super clear, what they call unmistakable language, saying, no, you can't get more benefits anywhere else.
Ah, so like lawyers being super specific with their wording, as always.
Precisely. So now the Supreme Court in Thomas, they have to look at Virginia's law under a microscope.
Did they use the magic words or not?
Right. And the majority opinion written by Justice Stevens, they said, nope, Virginia's law didn't have that unmistakable language.
Interesting. So even though Virginia said you can't get more benefits in Virginia, it wasn't clear enough to block claims in other states.
Exactly. It was like saying you can't have seconds at this dinner table, but you can go eat at a whole other restaurant.
I like that analogy. Yeah. So full faith and credit clause didn't automatically make D.C. follow Virginia's lead.
Right. The court said full faith and credit doesn't mean a state has to completely ditch its own policies, especially when it comes to protecting workers.
So D.C. could still decide what it thought was fair compensation, even if it was more than what Virginia gave.
Exactly. Both states had a legitimate interest in the case. D.C. was where Thomas lived and where his employer operated.
Right. It's not like he went forum shopping trying to find the state that would pay him the most.
That was actually one of the arguments Washington Gaslight made. They were like, he's just trying to game the system.
Yeah, that makes sense. Why wouldn't you go for the best deal?
But the court basically said, look, we're more concerned about making sure injured workers are taken care of than about keeping things perfectly uniform across state lines.
So worker protection over strict legal consistency.
Yeah. In this case, at least. But, of course, it's the Supreme Court. There's always a dissent.
Right. Got to have that clash of ideas. Justice Rehnquist, I believe, led the charge on this one.
He was a strong dissenter in this case. He was all about sticking to that Magnolia precedent, like a strict rule.
So he thought any workers' comp award should be the end of the story everywhere.
Yeah. He thought letting people get supplemental awards would just create chaos and unfairness for employers.
Like they wouldn't know what to expect, could get hit with unexpected costs.
Exactly. And he also didn't like the idea of someone potentially getting double recovery for the same injury.
Like getting paid twice for the same broken leg or whatever.
Right. He thought that went against the whole point of res judicata finality in legal decisions.
So he was concerned about the big picture impact on the legal system.
Yeah. He felt the majority was messing with a core principle for the sake of one case.
And then there's Justice White concurring, like sometimes agreeing, but for different reasons.
Justice White, he was interesting. He agreed with the outcome that Thomas should be able to go after more benefits in D.C.
Okay, so on the same side as the majority, but...
But his reasoning was more narrow.
Yeah.
He was all about that unmistakable language standard from McCartan.
So he didn't get into the whole policy debate about worker protection versus uniformity?
Nope. He was like, the law is the law. If Virginia didn't use the right words, then tough luck. That's on them.
So a more textualist approach, just focusing on what the law literally says.
Exactly. So we've got these different opinions, different ways of looking at the same problem.
Classic Supreme Court stuff. So for our listeners, especially the law students out there, what are the big takeaways from all this?
Well, first off, the full faith and credit clause. It's not a slam dunk argument in these interstate workers' comp cases.
It's not like an automatic game over.
Nope. You got to look at the specifics of the first state's law. Did they explicitly say you can't go after more benefits elsewhere?
So law students, pay attention to those statutory interpretation skills.
Absolutely. It's all about the wording.
And this case also shows that states have a lot of power to set their own policies, even when it comes to something like workers' comp.
Right, as long as they don't step on another state's toes too hard.
It's like that balancing act between state rights and national unity that we always talk about.
Yeah, it's a constant tension in our system, and this case is a great example of that.
And it makes you think about all the new ways people are working now, right? Remote work, people living in one state, working for a company in another.
Absolutely, like what happens if you're injured while working from home in Montana, but your company's in California.
Right. Whose laws apply? Is it even clear where the workplace is anymore?
Thomas v. Washington Gaslight. It gives us some clues, but it definitely raises more questions than it answers when you apply it to the modern world.
That's the law for you always evolving. So to wrap up Thomas v. Washington Gaslight Co., it's all about that unmistakable language.
That's the key takeaway. If the first state didn't use those magic words in their law, then you might still have a shot at getting more benefits somewhere else.
So don't assume anything. Always dig into the specifics of the law.
And think about the bigger picture. How does this case show the push and pull between state power and the need for consistency across the country?
Great food for thought there. So listeners, keep those wheels turning as you continue your legal journey, and we'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.